Seven blessings, everyone. Testing. Oh, must be, we're having an issue with the DSL on our side. Oh, okay, there it goes. All right, if you can please kneel, do so. If you can't, don't worry about it. We need to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us once again with your presence. Thank you for last night when we gathered together for prayer and for study. Thank you for always being there for us and guiding us each and every day. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness, blessing us with the latter rain and the faith that moves the mountains. We want to see you glorified, Father, and we know that we're not ready to do a lot of things yet. And so thank you for the trials and the tribulations that come to help us to learn and to pass tests. And thank you for giving us the patience to know that when we fail, the test is going to be repeated so that we can pass it, because we truly strive on to that perfection which is in Christ Jesus. We pray for all those that are on our prayer list, Father, as we did last night, many by name. And we thank you for blessing each and every one of them. We thank you for blessing our children and our children's children. And Father, we lift up those that are doing the work, especially the zealots, the ones that want to take part in a loud cry, and as do all of us. But Father, thank you for blessing our efforts and blessing all those things that we're doing and giving us more things to do so that you are glorified and a loud cry can go forth. And thank you again, Father, for blessing us physically, spiritually, and financially in every way that we need to be blessed so that we can do this work for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Just a quick note. I noticed during the, we may have to set up some kind of meeting or something like that for the children's story or whatever, in regards to making sure that the microphones are loud enough and things like that, because sometimes, or either have the child step a little closer to the mic, because sometimes it's hard to hear, and those on the radio absolutely won't hear it, or on the phone. And I've noticed, which is, you know, human nature, you hear a child sing and it sounds nice, and you want to say something. And so I do believe there's many areas in Sister White's writings where we're not supposed to pat each other on the back and such things, or in many things in life we're not supposed to do that, because then what it does is it teaches the children, as well as the adults, to strive on to exalting the flesh, and we don't want to do that. We want to teach our children to be as humble as possible, and so I thought I'd bring that up, because it's wonderful, their voices are cute, and it's just, you want to, you know, say thank you and and say, you know, to the kid, good job and stuff like that, but they have to learn, too, that they're praying and singing unto the Lord, and that it is He that deserves the glory in all things, and so. So, all right. Okay. All right, we're still in chapter 12 of the... okay, hold on a second here. Okay. Yeah, we're still in chapter 12 of The Great Controversy, the one titled The French Reformation. And we're on page, the very top of page 228, for those of you listening on the radio. So, and Sabbath blessings to you and everyone here and everyone on the phone. Okay, so it starts off by saying that the 21st of January, 1535, was fixed upon for awful ceremonial, for the awful ceremonial. The superstitious fears and bigoted hatred of the whole nation had been roused. Paris was thronged with the multitudes that from all from all the surrounding country crowded her streets. Excuse me. The day was to be ushered in by a vast and imposing procession. And then she's quoting here from, okay, now it's got one of those hybrids, so I gotta have to scroll up a little bit to see whose book this is. Wiley's book. Okay. All right, so she says, or quotes, "The houses along the line of march were hung with mourning drapery, and altars rose at intervals." Yeah, so this is their imposing procession, if you will. "Before every door was a lighted torch in honor of the Holy Sacrament," which if you didn't do, of course, you know, and the Holy Sacrament, of course, being the Eucharist, that little round wafer that offended God to anger in the book of Jeremiah, where they make, cakes onto the Queen of Heaven. Those things, later on in Catholicism, it got exalted to such a point where it now becomes the Eucharist of Christ. But it still has the cross on the back that those cakes did for Mary, or the Queen of Heaven in Jeremiah chapter 7. And they're already starting now a push in the Vatican, even though all that molestation stuff is happening there now, that media storm. They have been pushing for the last 5 or 6 years to get the Eucharist out there before the people so that they can start this procession during the streets again to make people bow down before, and if you don't bow down, they kill you. That's Christ-like, But they just don't get it. It's just like what we were talking about last night, that one church in Corpus Christi, Texas. They're offering $4 million in gifts and prizes if you come to church on Easter. These type of churches are getting the people to such a point where killing others is not going to be considered anti-Christian. It's, because their pastors are going to be saying, this is your duty, this is what you should do. And since they follow the pastors, hook, line, and sinker anyway, they don't read their Bibles and they worship the pastors, they're pastor echoes. If the pastors say to go kill somebody, and using, a bunch of convincingly out-of-context scriptures, it'll work. And so, and if you don't think it can happen, they did this during the Dark Ages. People think, well, that was the Dark Ages when people were, a little bit thick between the ears. It's just, no. Human nature is human nature. It doesn't matter if it's 6,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, or 2 weeks ago. It's just, sure, society's a little different than today, but we're slowly but surely working towards that type of society where killing your fellow man is no big deal. Case in point, we've gone from boxing to fake wrestling to real wrestling to bare-knuckle fist fights, and these guys are dying in the ring, and it's entertaining. And now they're doing these Coliseum things, and it's just, and these students, there's, I just put an article on the site the other day, they got, I don't know if it was a dozen students or two dozen students that have been approached by whomever to live as Roman gladiators, bare minimum 4 days a week, from dusk till dawn, I mean, sleep the whole nine yards. They get 3 days a week off to do their normal things, whatever they got to do, but they have to live and eat and sleep, and just like Roman gladiators. For whatever reason, they're doing this. Could it be a way to figure out if it's easy to brainwash the kids? Who knows? But they are working on something. Hey, hold on. I just got a little thing going on here with the text chat. All right. Okay, so it says, "Before daybreak, the procession formed at the palace of the king. First came the banners and the crosses of the several parishes. Next appeared the citizens, walking two and two and bearing torches. The four orders of friars followed, each in its own peculiar dress. Then came a vast collection of famous relics." And that could be anything from the skull of a so-called Catholic saint to a toe, or a part of their clothing, or a part of, like, if they had a walking staff, whatever. They literally, overwhelmingly worship the flesh They worship the creator. They worship the creature more than the creator. And this was prophesied too. You know, this is something that they were warned of, and this is what happens when you don't read Bibles. So she goes on, following these rode lordly ecclesiastics in their purple and scarlet robes and jeweled adornings, a gorgeous and glittering array. And there's no doubt in my mind, I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind here as to why they had the gorgeous and glittering array. It's eye candy. You go into a Catholic church and it's literally drenched in gold, and there's some newer Seventh-day Adventist churches that are doing this now. All the other churches have been doing this for years, of course, not just Catholics, but the Catholics are actually cornering the market on it because of the way the Vatican's got so much money, you know, from all the wars and stuff like that, that they've killed people and pillaged their gold and their riches. And they tell people it's, you know, the generals gave it to them as gifts. No, it was to exact payment. No, that's just painfully obvious. But this is what has been working for the Vatican and many churches, like the Lutheran Church, for example, too. They wear the robes, as do the Greek Orthodox, and of course, the Imams and the Islamic faith would do the same thing. And I mean, even the people, you know, like with the burqa and the hijab and all those weird clothing that they wear. It's all to look at the outward adorning of the man rather than the heart. And again, if you don't read Bibles, people think, you know, when I make that statement that, you know, oh, okay, you know, read the Bible. What do you think? How's it going to help me? You know, well, when you read a Bible daily, you get these little bits and pieces of the truth so that when these strange things start to happen around you, you know that it's wrong. Period. You just know it's wrong because you know you read it in your Bible. Now, how you react to that wrong situation, you know, says a lot. But the fact is, you got to read your Bible every single day. And I know everybody here, most everybody here doesn't have a problem with that. I'm speaking mostly for the young because many of us have children that don't see the importance in reading their Bibles. And I got to tell you, it changed my life in an amazing way. If I hadn't started reading my Bible, I would think around 28 years ago, because I read it for a couple of years almost before I left the Catholic Church, I'd probably be dead today because of the strange things that I was into as a devout Catholic. So a lot of people don't realize how powerful the truth can be to a person's life, and how the Lord does, in fact, protect his people. So again, quoting from that book, the host was carried by the Bishop of Paris under a magnificent canopy, and the host, of course, being the Eucharist, again, supported by four princes of the blood. After the host walked the king, Francis I, on that day wore no crown nor robe of state, with head uncovered, his eyes cast on the ground, and in his hand a lighted taper. The king of France appeared in the character of a penitent. And you know the church forced him into doing that, to make everything look so somber, make it look like this was just a really big deal, you know? And this is from Wiley's book, 13, chapter 21. At every altar he bowed down in humiliation, at every altar he bowed down in humiliation, nor for the vices that defiled his soul, nor the innocent blood that stained his hands, but for the deadly sin of his subjects who had dared to condemn the Mass. Okay? In other words, he's not bowing down in humiliation before God because of the vices that defile his soul on a regular basis. And we all know about vices. Nor for the innocent blood that stained his hands of the people that he's killed over the years. He's bowing down because, of course, the Vatican wants to make this look somber because of the deadly so-called sins of his subjects who dared to condemn the Roman Catholic Mass. So she goes on, following him came the queen and the dignitaries of state, also walking two and two, each with a lighted torch. And I have to assume this lighted torch is in homage to the Eucharist, because Sister White does speak. I don't remember ever finding this in Catholic folklore, but you do see Sister White talking about it earlier, where she said, before every door was a lighted torch in honor of the Holy Sacrament. And so I have to assume that the torch was brought out to the street for the same purpose. Okay, continuing. All right. As a part of the services of the day, the monarch himself addressed the high officials of the kingdom in the great hall of the bishop's palace. With a sorrowful countenance, he appeared before them, and in words of moving eloquence bewailed the crime, the blasphemy, the day of sorrow and disgrace that had come upon the nation. I'm noticing we're getting a little bit of fallout here, and I don't understand why. It's choppy now. I don't understand. Maybe I could try putting a virtual server on the radio server to open the pipeline. Or maybe it's because the streaming of the server is too high. Hold on. Yeah, I think it's the radio doing it. Hold on a second here. And you knock the radio down to 2 kilobits, or 20 kilobits rather, which is going to come out as 2 on this end. Encoding. Okay, let me force it. Okay, it's causing a crash on the server. Hold on, it's disconnected. I don't want to go stereo. Just give me a second, folks. Because this is the first time we're using this server in here. I don't want to go stereo. I want to go mono. Let's try 24. There we go. All right. That worked. Knocked it down to 24 kilobits. Which is better than half, which is where we usually sit at. So this should make the room a little bit more stable, because I think I was pushing the issue on the pipeline here. So the radio should be a little bit more stable. Okay, testing.
Testing.
Yeah, I don't have a chop out there. So let's see how this works for a while. It's better. Okay, definite improvement. Yeah, it had to be the because like I said, this is the first time we're doing this. We lost the chat room server on Monday. And so I piggybacked 2 virtual servers, and one of them was asking for way too much bandwidth. So praise the Lord for him showing me that quickly. That should have taken me hours to figure out. So praise his name. You know, I just happened to look over, and I noticed it was kicking 56K, and it should only be doing 20 to 24. So, all right, we should be good. Amen. Our Heavenly Father is an amazing and awesome God, you know. This is one of the neat things about, worshiping the real God, not a cookie, you know, or not a statue, or even a demon acting like it's somebody important, you know. This God we worship is there for his people. Oh, and it sounds much better now, too. Wow. I didn't realize the radio had that much power over that bandwidth. So, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, we got that all tweaked. So, continuing. All right, let me backtrack a little bit here, because I was chopping out. It says, as a part of the services of the day, the monarch himself addressed the high officials of the kingdom in the great hall of the bishop's palace. With a sorrowful countenance, he appeared before them in the words of moving eloquence bewailed, the crime, the blasphemy, the day of sorrow and disgrace that had come upon the nation. And he called upon every loyal subject to aid in the extirpation of the pestilent heresy that threatened France with ruin. As true masseurs, as I am your king, he said, if I knew one of my own limbs spotted or infected with this detestable rottenness, I would give it to you to cut off. And, okay, let's all raise our hands to say who believes he is meaning this statement. Because if he really did believe, or really did believe in such a way, he wouldn't be doing what Rome instruction to do. So he goes on, and further, if I saw one of my children defiled by it, I would not spare him. I would deliver him up myself and would sacrifice him to God. Tears choked his utterance, and the whole assembly wept with one accord, exclaiming, we will live and die for the Catholic religion. Not for Jesus Christ, mind you, but for the Catholic religion. This is what they said in D'Aubigné's book, History of the Reformation in Europe in the Time of Calvin, Book 4, Chapter 12. That is Catholicism in a nutshell. We will live and die for the Catholic religion. Why? Because it allows them to sin and still think they're worthy of heaven. A great delusion has been sent upon them. They're allowed to believe a lie. So she says, terrible had become the darkness of the nation that had rejected the light of truth. The grace that bringeth salvation had appeared, but France, after beholding its power and holiness, after thousands had been drawn by its divine beauty, after cities and hamlets had been illuminated by its radiance, had turned away, choosing darkness rather than light. Just like when Jesus in Barabbas were standing there next to Pilate. People were always going to choose wrong. They had put from them the heavenly gift when it was offered them. They had called evil good and good evil, till they had fallen victims to their willful self-deception. Now, though they might actually believe that they were doing God's service and persecuting his people, John chapter 16, I believe, verses 6 and 7 is where Jesus says this is where, you know, they actually believe that they're doing God a service and killing you. And it's because they don't know me or the Father, he says. I believe that is in John chapter 16. I don't know if it's around verses 6 or 7 or something like that, but I used to use it a lot on the street. But backtracking a little bit, now though they might actually believe that they were doing God's service and persecuting his people, yet their sincerity did not render them guiltless. The light that would have saved them from deception, from staining their souls with blood guiltness, they had willfully rejected. See, this is the key. This is the key that breaks a lot of the people's backs in regards to where they just don't get the importance of reading Scripture. If these people were reading their Bibles every day, even if it's only 30 minutes in the morning, or in the evening, or afternoon, whatever I prefer morning, because I want to do it before my brain gets all, you know, or even before I eat and everything. I just want to start the day like that. But even if you're just reading it for reading it, you're going to, his word will not come back to him void, he says in the Scriptures. So you're going to get bits, think of it. The Creator God is talking to you when you're reading his Bible. That's why he wrote it. And so whether you're going to become theologically amazing to understand every nook and cranny of the Scriptures or not, doesn't make a difference, because you're going to get the little bits and pieces of truth that you're going to need, because he's going to direct you to those areas, so that when situations like this come up, you won't willfully reject blunt truths in life. You could be a babe in Christ and only have a year behind you in reading Scripture, and you're not going to fall for 90% of this garbage out there. You're just not. If you're faithfully reading the Bible every day, you just won't fall for this stuff. I know this is how my wife and I were led out of all this. It took us 10 years, mind you. We were devout Catholics, And after we left the Catholic Church and started reading Scripture, it took us 10 years to unlearn Catholicism, reading the Bible half hour, hour a day, whatever. And towards the end, when we finally got away from the city, I found myself 8 to 10 hours a day in the Bible. I couldn't get my face out of it because having read it 10 years now, I was understanding a lot more than usual because I had 10 years behind me. And then when I started studying it, it was like, wow, all these things that I was being taught over the years are just falling into place like this gigantic puzzle. And then, boom, I understood about the Sabbath, the real state of the dead. There is no 7-year trib. I mean, the whole 9 yards, it just kept falling there, right in place. That's why I couldn't get my face out of the Bible for like 16 months. And that's why the Lord wouldn't allow me to get a job either. No one would hire me. I couldn't figure out why until at the end of the 16 months when we started keeping Sabbath and everything else. We understood. We were going to have an intense study course, and we did. It's amazing what that book can do and how it can change your life. For years, I looked to try to find all sorts of things to do with my life. Couldn't figure out what to do. Could never, you know, I was always losing jobs, well, quitting them, actually. And I was like a rudderless boat, didn't know where I was headed. And then when Christ came into my life, it was, even though I didn't understand what he wanted me to do, and it just seemed there was a lot more purpose to life. There was a lot more peace, for one thing, and there was, it just, everything was easier, it seemed. Even though you still had the trials, still had tribs, still had the problems, you know, but it was easier. Okay, so let me finish this up today with this last paragraph, which ends with, it's a quote. Well, she's going to work in towards a quote from Dobina's book again. It says, a solemn oath to extirpate heresy was taken in the great, cathedral, where nearly three centuries later, the goddess of reason was to be enthroned by a nation that had forgotten the living God. And what she's talking about here is that time when the two witnesses were killed in the streets and laid there for 3.5 days, or prophetically speaking, but actually 3.5 years. There's a page on the website all about this. This age of reason almost destroyed their entire nation because they banned the Bibles and got rid of it. The two witnesses were killed. The Old Testament and the New Testament, they were just killed. And then they had to bring the Bible back because it was like anarchy. So she goes on, again, the procession formed. And the representatives of France set out to begin the work which they had sworn to do. At short distances, scaffolds had been erected on which certain Protestant Christians were to be burned alive. And it was arranged that the faggots should be lighted at the moment the king approached. And faggots is kind of like a lighting, like in Britain, a faggot is a cigarette, right? Or a fag, but they call it a cigarette. In the U.S., we all, you know, the faggots are, the word faggot in the U.S. has two G's, speaking about, you know, it's a slang term, it's an insulting term for homosexual, but their lifestyle is an insult regardless, so, but still it's not right to call them faggots and, you know, and stuff. So she goes, and the procession should halt to witness the execution. Okay, now that was Wiley's book, I'm sorry, book 13, chapter 21. She's going to work towards Daubigny's. So, and then it says, the details of the tortures endured by these witnesses for Christ are too harrowing for recital. But there was no wavering on the part of the victims. On being urged to recant, one answered. Now think about this. They're being urged to recant right before they're killed. They're given one last chance. And a lot of times, with these one last chances, instead of being burned alive, they'll choke you to death instead. If you recant because you brought it up to this point and you got to die, irregardless, but at least we'll kill you a little bit gentler, you know. So, you know, they were bloodthirsty. What are you going to do? But anyway, this is what they would say. This is what one particular one said. I only believe in what the prophets and the apostles formerly preached, and what all the company of the saints believed. My faith has a confidence in God which will resist all the powers of hell. And that's from Daubigny's book, History of the Reformation in Europe, in the Time of Calvin, book 4, chapter 12. So, let's break it off here for today, and we'll pick it up on the very first paragraph of page 230. So let me highlight this. I hope and pray that you were blessed by what you heard. Today we have Pastor Craig from the Philippines sharing a study that he did on the latter rain. And it's pre-recorded because it'll be 2 a.m. And well, it's like 1:30 a.m. at his place now, so he pre-records it for me to make it easier. So yeah, and we have the notes this time too. So there you are, right there in the room. So be back in a minute. Hope and pray you were blessed. Give me a chance to start the recorder over again before the singing starts. So just watch for POGM recording a little R, the yellow thing. Watch for it to relight, and then whoever's supposed to sing, please go for it.